I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Monday, February 1st. Maybe this is what normal looks like. I'm not talking about the snow. Maybe this is what normal politics looks like. Or maybe it's a sucker punch. President Biden, we all know, has been calling for a new era of unity, including negotiations on important bills in Congress between Democrats and Republicans, something that hasn't been happening much in recent years, as you know. Notably, when Obama was president, Republicans wouldn't negotiate on much of anything, and Congress had years of gridlock. That led to Obama resorting to more executive orders by the end of his term, and of course, Trump governed largely by executive order, and Biden has gotten off on that foot too. But on many things, you need Congress. So here we are with Biden proposing a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. He may have the votes, in the Senate to get it through with only Democrats. But then this weekend came a letter to the president from 10 relatively moderate Republican senators led by Susan Collins of Maine. They do support the $160 billion for COVID testing and vaccines, but are calling for a negotiation on a smaller package overall and targeting it more narrowly to people in need, plus reducing the length and amount of extended unemployment benefits, providing aid to schools, but less aid to schools intended to help with reopening safely, and taking out some Democratic priorities that the Republicans say are unrelated to COVID relief, like doubling the minimum wage to $15 an hour. We don't know yet if the Republicans are proposing to take out aid to state and local governments, something that many states consider crucial to their survival right now, that failed last year, as many of you know, when Mitch McConnell is in charge of the Senate. He called that a blue state bailout. Congress did get to yes, of course, on COVID relief several times last year, but the final bill passed in December after many months of delay and gridlock was very unsatisfying, especially to Democrats, because it left so much out and had stimulus checks of just $600 when they wanted $2,000. So a meeting is now set for this afternoon between the White House and some of these 10. Here are some clips from the Sunday talk shows from a few sides on this. First, here is one of the 10 senators, Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, challenging Biden to live up to his rhetoric on a new era of bipartisanship.
If you say you want bipartisanship and then you have a budget reconciliation, which is chock full of handouts and payoffs to Democratic constituency groups, you don't want bipartisanship. You want the patina of bipartisanship.
Senator Bill Cassidy on Fox News Sunday. And that was a slightly edited version of that clip for brevity, but we didn't change his meaning. Here's Biden economics advisor Brian Deese on CNN State of the Union showing some willingness to negotiate, at least on the idea of targeting relief payments, often called stimulus checks, to lower income Americans.
We're open to that idea. We're open to ideas across the board.
So Brian Deese representing Biden saying he's open to a negotiation. And here is Bernie Sanders, of course, an independent senator from Vermont, on ABC this week.
We all want bipartisanship, and I think you're going to see more of it as we move down the pipe. We all got to look forward to working with Republicans. But right now, this country faces an unprecedented set of crises.
So what should happen here? An old school negotiation to get to yes, where both sides get some priorities to them and nobody gets totally what they want. Might that set up good relations between Biden and a meaningful group of Republican senators to get other things done that would otherwise require 60 votes? Or is this a kind of sucker punch intended to force Biden to say no and then let the Republicans say, see, he's not really for bipartisanship, and just try to weaken him? We'll get a progressive journalist view of this with Huffington Post, Washington Bureau Chief Amanda Turkel. Thanks a lot for coming on, Amanda. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you on the scale of excited by the prospect to cringing at the thought of this negotiation this afternoon?
I'm eager to see, what comes out of it, as I think most people are, because obviously something needs to happen. you know, I think your summary was really great in sort of where people are and their hopes and also their concerns. You know, during the Obama years, Obama tried in very good faith to negotiate with Republicans. He thought there were reasonable Republicans. He could work with them. He spent much of his presidency doing that, only to realize that they weren't actually negotiating in good faith with him most of the time. And Biden obviously saw this. And Biden has said he believes in bipartisanship. He wants to work with Republicans. But I think he learned the lesson that he can't rely on them if they're not going to work with him, and he will have to move forward.
Here's the list of the names. I thought people might like to hear the 10 names, and I'd like to get your take. I think people would be interested in your take if this is some kind of potential emerging moderate block of Republicans. So it's Susan Collins, Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, as I mentioned, Rob Portman from Ohio, Todd Young, Michael Rounds, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, Shelley Moore Capito, Jerry Moran, and Tom Tillis. And I'm curious what you make of that group, because I raised the possibility of a sucker punch intended to force Biden to say no and then let the Republicans say, see, he's not really for bipartisanship, and just try to weaken him. But, you know, Mitt Romney and some of the other signatories may well want a good faith negotiation and to start marginalizing the more radical and more Trumpy wing of their party. And this could be a way to start building back a center that could benefit these Republicans, too, at the expense of the Republican populist wing, who they don't want to always have to fear. So I'm curious if you have any take on where along that spectrum this group might actually be.
Yeah, I mean, if there are Republicans that Biden can work with, it's definitely this group. You saw people like Romney, especially, willing to come out and criticize Trump. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're still Republicans. And Romney and others have already come out and sort of oppose things, some of the executive orders that Biden is doing, and basically saying if he goes forward with these environmental initiatives or other things, then he's not really for unity. So it's already being set up as if Biden does anything I don't like, he's not interested in unity. So in some ways, it is a bit of a trap. You know, where Biden has to be careful is that for in order to get anything passed, even if he uses budget reconciliation, which requires only a majority, so he needs only Democrats, he still has to worry about losing people like conservative Joe Manchin from West Virginia or Kristen Sinema from Arizona, who sometimes does cross the aisle and vote with Republicans. And so I think those Democrats want to see that Biden's putting in a good faith effort to negotiate as well. But, you know, again, Biden has the rest of his party who, you know, wants to see him go big. You know, they don't want to see him reduce payments to individuals or cut funding to schools or estates, for example.
Let's go down some of the Republican bullet points as they've been reported and get your take. One is just the number on the next round of stimulus checks. Biden saying $1,400. Now it came out this morning, the Republicans are saying $1,000. It doesn't seem like that big a thing to dig in on, especially from the Republican side. Like why? Why would they make a big deal, certainly a deal breaker, over $400 to Americans who need it?
Right. And I think that politically, it's not really a winner for them when you have so many people struggling. This was a thing during the campaign. People liked the checks. You know, people who are struggling from COVID like getting these checks. And a lot of them credited Trump with getting those checks to them. And so if they hear a group of Republicans are fighting for smaller checks, I just don't think that's a winner right now. Yeah. Rob Portman was saying on CNN this weekend, too, that the checks should be limited to people making $50,000 and less, and families making $100,000 or less. So, and I think that's something that Republicans will be pushing on too, this sort of means testing. But again, I think that's maybe somewhere Democrats could negotiate on. But at the same time, I think a lot of Democrats are arguing, let's just get this out as widely as possible. It will help stimulate the economy. You can get more money flowing. And there are just a lot of families, you know, who are struggling for other reasons who make more than that.
Next one related, the Republicans want the extended unemployment checks reduced from an extra $400 a week that Biden wants to an extra $300, I think they're saying, and probably more important to them than the number, not to be guaranteed through September, as Biden would have it, but a shorter time to see how the economy recovers with the vaccines coming. What do you think about that?
You know, again, it seems like, you know, like you were saying earlier, $100 a week, is it really something you want to dig in on? Especially when, you know, if you're unemployed, $100 goes quite a ways. You know, Republicans have always been sort of hardline on this issue of unemployment aid, feeling like it encourages people not to go to work. I think that argument has always been flimsy, but especially so in the era of coronavirus, when you just can't go to work, the jobs aren't there, it's not safe to go out, people are being fired. And so, you know, on the other issue too, of how long it goes, September, you know, I think if anyone's been paying attention to the news, September does not
seem
that
really
far
close.
Off.
Totally.
And it doesn't seem like the economy will be up and going again. And so, you know, does Congress really want to deal with this again and have people's aid in jeopardy? Or, you know, I think extending it doesn't really seem that foolish at this point.
Listener tweets, we, meaning Democrats, we won Georgia because of $2,000 checks. And the, quote, socialism to the rich, Republican argument, makes my head explode because of their tax cuts. They should call it a $2,000 immediate tax rebate. Then maybe they wouldn't stand in the way. So that's the first listener comment. Big thing, I think, the Republicans do not want the big policy item of raising the minimum wage nationally from $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour. And depending on where you're hearing this, folks, your state might have a $15 an hour minimum wage or something close to it. But some states have $7.25 because that's all the federal government requires. And the Republicans say that's a big policy item, the minimum wage. It's not COVID relief, and it shouldn't be tacked on to this bill. Fair enough to separate it out and come back to it on that basis?
This is going to be, I think, one of the most fascinating parts of this is whether Biden and Democrats stand firm and make this a part of this and fight for it and go forward with budget reconciliation, or whether this is something that they say we'll fold on and we'll separate it. Obviously, the $15 minimum wage is something that has been a priority for Democrats for quite a while. It was a big issue in the Democratic presidential primary. You know, and again, it's not a crazy idea. The minimum wage hasn't really budged in many places in many years. And, you know, Democrats say that we need a living wage, and this is part of, you know, helping people recover from this economic fallout from COVID. You know, Senator Bernie Sanders is obviously a big proponent of this, and he's sort of leading the charge. But Biden so far has said that, you know, it's important to him. So again, I'm very interested to see whether Democrats decide to stand firm on this.
Janet in Red Bank, you're on WNYC. Hi, Janet.
Oh, hello. I strongly favor targeting aid to people who need it. My husband and I are both retired, and we are comfortable, and we've received stimulus checks, and we then go and donate that money to a food bank or some other cause. I would like to see my government dollars targeted to the people who really need the aid.
Janet, thank you very much. Let's go right to another caller. Here is Sandra in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sandra.
Hey, Brian. I just wanted to chime in on the stimulus and just really voice my concern for the overall well-being of the country. I mean, looking at what's happening in Myanmar right now, I mean, we didn't think the Capitol riots, I mean, I guess it depends where you are in the country, but here in Brooklyn, it did not seem to me that the Capitol riots were something that was actually going to happen. GameStop last week, them stopping the trading. Like, these things to me just seem like they're snowballing. And if Biden doesn't do something big and, you know, that affects the majority and gets at, you know, this underbelly of the rot in this country, I really think it's dangerous right now. I think anything could happen. I think we could be like Myanmar, like, you know, just wondering, like, it just feels to me, where I am in my apartment, quarantining in Brooklyn, it seems like the country is really on a precipice and we're close to just kind of imploding.
Does that inform how you feel about this stimulus bill negotiation or COVID relief bill negotiation?
absolutely. I think if Biden gives in to the Republicans, if he entertains them and if he cuts down the amount of money that he sent, if we ever actually get a check, or if it comes in March, I mean, like this whole delay thing, I think it's dangerous. I think he needs to do something quick. If he gives in to the Republicans, I think it's a wrap. I think it's game over. He's going to lose any credibility that, you know, the progressive left were willing to, you know, give. I think that's going to disappear. It's already happening on social media. I mean, the way people are talking about, mm-hmm. you know, the $1,400, like they're rebranding that whole thing. He didn't say he's giving us $1,400, but he's giving us $2,000. And right. It's just that kind of stuff. If that continues, I think it's going to, I think we need to lose the country. I'm so on edge every day. It's terrible.
Sandra, thank you very much. And she brings up so much. Amanda, my guest is Amanda Turkle, Washington Bureau Chief for HuffPost. Myanmar, I had the same thought as she did last night, seeing that Aung San Suu Kyi is possibly being overthrown by a military coup at this moment. What if Trump had a defense secretary who was willing to engage rogue elements of the armed forces? How much further than January 6th would we have gotten? And how close might we be next time? And so that used to be the kind of story that would strike Americans as, oh, there go those other countries again. We don't have to worry about that. But did you get a shudder when you saw the Myanmar story?
I think Sandra brought up a lot of good things. I did not make that connection, but I think, you know, she mentioned the, you know, the January, we've been talking about the January 6th Capitol riot. You know, the news that's come out of that, which I think goes along to what Sandra was saying, is honestly how scary it is and how much worse it could have been, hearing about a lot of the plans, the bombs that were placed at the Democratic and Republican national headquarters. It could have been a lot worse than it was even. And, you know, this will all be on display, I think, at the impeachment trial that starts next week. This idea that Biden needs to go big. I think a lot of Democrats took that away from the Obama years. You know, when he did the stimulus after he took office, that had an effect and that did help the economy. But a lot of the conclusions that came out of that from Democrats is that it didn't do enough and it didn't go far enough. It helped the economy a little bit, but it didn't fully pull it out. And Obama should have gone bigger. And that's what they want Biden to do now.
Right. And she talked about unity within the Democratic Party. A lot of the mainstream media talks about unity between Democrats and Republicans, but there's also unity within the Democratic Party. And whether he's starting to lose a certain amount of the base who, you know, he got elected largely because of greater turnout than for Hillary Clinton in 2016. And if people start to get disillusioned, well, then what does that mean for 2022? On the other hand, when Obama lost Congress in his first midterm election, a lot of people analyzed that as because he went too big for Republicans who were able to turn that into the Tea Party and then turn off a lot of people in the center to Obama. So how tricky a thing do you think that is for Biden to decide whether, just on a political basis, he has a bigger chance of losing the House if he goes too big or if he goes too small?
Mm-hmm. No, it's incredibly tricky. And you know that he's thinking about this quite a bit. You know, when he talks about unity and bipartisanship and what does that actually mean and who is it most important to keep unified? Obviously, you cannot keep the entire country unified, you know, toward one legislative proposal or one bill. But, you know, the Biden White House, I will give them credit, it's pushed back a little bit against Republicans who say that you know, doing anything that Republicans don't like isn't unity. You know, Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, has pushed back saying, you know, are Republicans against helping people who are unemployed? Are Republicans against this extra assistance? You know, these are ideas that aren't Democratic necessarily. These should be something that the entire country is for. And that, you know, when polls bear out that's true. The entire, you know, more people in the country are for these ideas, which is also why Biden won. So, you know, I think Biden will have a tough time hanging on to Congress after 2022 elections. The Senate for example, is not looking great for Democrats. But so that will all be playing into his thinking on this.
And here's a caller who told our screener she is unemployed. Let's get her thinking on this. Irene in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling in, Irene.
Thanks for having me, Brian. I appreciate you guys all the time. But my number one thing about all this means testing, like they're talking about changing the amount that they are considering giving people relief based on your income from $75,000 to $50,000. Number one, my understanding is they based that income level on our taxes from 2019. That's before the pandemic. I had a job. I have been unemployed since March. The rent relief that New York State set up, the means testing is based on my income before the pandemic. I don't understand how they are deciding whether or not you get pandemic relief based on your income before you were affected by the pandemic. It's making me crazy.
That's a really good point, and I don't think a lot of people bring up that point. Amanda?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think that's, an argument against lowering the threshold, and means testing in general. I think it gets tricky because, again, if you give people money, it will help the economy flowing at no matter at what level. But yeah, no, I think the caller brings up an excellent point.
HuffPost Washington Bureau Chief Amanda Turkle, thank you so much for joining us today. Stay warm.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.